Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. We have Raymond Burr's Fort Laramie for us today, and we have Gunsmoke. And on Fort Laramie, it's so interesting for the time we're going through for this episode, in that you immediately are thinking, do they have COVID? And because they have something running through the camp, and just the way they talk about it and things, or things that you hear on the news about COVID and so forth. And I just thought it was kind of interesting and timely that this episode would come up. So, but it's a good, solid episode, and it's about the chaplain that we haven't run into before as a character. And I think the most famous chaplain probably that we have is Father Mulcahy over on MASH. But it's interesting to hear a story with a chaplain in it. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode and enjoy Gunsmoke as well. And we'll see you next week.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Captain?
Oh, hello, Sergeant.
These men are answering surgeon's call. Atkin, Chapman, Furness, Harrison, Holt, Hook, Horner, Madison, Miller, Shaw, Rice...
Now, hold it, Sergeant. That's reading like a roll call of B Company.
It's close to that, sir.
Well, how many total?
26.
Yesterday it was 18?
That's right, sir.
If this keeps up, we won't have a man answering fatigue call or guard mounting another couple of days. What's the matter with B Company, Sergeant?
I don't know, sir.
You ask the men?
I figure that's a job for the post surgeon.
Yeah, I'll be interested in the hospital reports. All right, that's all, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir.
Is, your name on that list by any chance?
No, sir.
Are you ailing?
No, sir.
You sure?
Yes, sir, I'm sure.
All right, Sergeant. That's all.
Yes, sir.
F Company, 14 men on surgeon's call. D Company, 19. B Company, 26. At this rate, we can hold tomorrow morning's drill on the hospital grounds.
Well, he's got most of the garrison over there, all right.
B Company seems to be suffering the most, Captain. Any explanations?
Not till I see the surgeon's report. I went over to the hospital right after fatigue call. Major Trucks was too busy to talk. He said in a couple hours he'd know something.
59 men. It's beginning to look like an epidemic.
Maybe.
You have some reservation about it?
Well, depends on what you call an epidemic. An epidemic of real sickness, anyway.
Real sickness?
I'm saying maybe they're just bored, and I'm saying if they are, it's a hard sickness to cure.
You cure boredom with activity, Captain. Lots of it.
Different activity, Major Daggett.
What do you mean?
Well, take B Company. We haven't been off the garrison for nearly 2 months. The days are all alike. The men do the same things the same way, day after day.
Army life depends on routine, Captain.
Because it's the most efficient way to organize men.
That's right.
When that efficiency begins to break down, do you stick to the routine just because it's the Army way?
Of course not.
Well, that's what I mean by different activity.
Well, let's look at our routine, Captain. First call for reveille's at 5:20. Reveille 5:30. Breakfast call 5:40. First call for drill 6:10. Drill 6:15 to 7:15. Recall from drill. Then surgeon's call. Fatigue call. Any changes so far?
We might make some in fatigue call.
If they don't clean up the post then, when would they do it?
They clean the post for 4 hours before dinner and 3 hours before supper. That's a lot of redding up.
Yeah, it is. But relieving some of the men isn't the answer.
They could change off. Bindle can always use some help at the sawmill, and the chaplain's an awful busy man, tending the post garden by himself most of the time.
Yeah, that's something to think about. Of course, we don't know yet if we're battling an epidemic of boredom.
No. No, we don't.
You going over to the hospital?
Yeah, I thought I would.
Tell Major Trucks I know he's been busy, but he hasn't filed his receipts of canned goods shipments from the East for a month now. He's holding up our paperwork.
Canned goods?
Fruit, some vegetables, salt fish.
You been getting any fruit or vegetables, Steve?
No, but we're being billed for it. Apparently it's been sent here. And that's Major Trucks' department. You just tell him I need receipts.
All right, Major. Well, morning, Chaplain.
Well, morning, Captain Quince.
Looks like you need a pick more than a shovel.
We need rain worse. I don't think the Lord means for me to have a garden sometimes.
Garden, Chaplain?
Well, and potatoes anyway. And hardy as they are, they don't grow well in hardpan.
Yeah, the Major was talking about putting garden detail on fatigue call. Guess you could use some help.
He spoke of it just this morning?
Oh, just a few minutes ago. Thought you could use a hand.
A hand? Just a few minutes ago, I put my shovel aside, looked up, and said aloud, "Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts." I don't know your belief, Captain, but mine rests strongly on the power of prayer.
Well, now, this help, Chaplain, it wouldn't be altogether unselfish.
Oh, no help is altogether unselfish.
We were thinking the men might spark a little to garden detail. A lot of them come from farms.
I've watched them come over here to the hospital from drill. Some of them just boys in their teens shuffling along like sick old men. I wonder if gardening is the answer.
Well, I'm hoping Major Trucks is finding that out right now. Have any of them complained to you, Chaplain?
Complained?
Well, if they're not sick, if they're just tired, if they got a belly full of the Army, they'd be likely to tell you.
Some of them would.
Well, it would help if we knew.
Captain, the men who seek me out know that their conversations are held in highest confidence.
Well, I'm not asking you to break faith with them, Chaplain, but this sickness, whatever it is growing.
You think it's a morale problem?
I've seen it happen. It's as effective as typhoid for making men useless if it gets a hold.
I can promise you this, Captain. I won't give you any names. But if I get more than my share of men telling me they've got a belly full, as you say, I'll see the Major hears about it.
You'll be seeing the sick later?
Mm-hmm. And praying for him.
Well, luck with your potato patch.
Thank you, Captain.
That's right, men. Put them as close together as you can. We need as many cots as we can get in the corridor.
You, got an emergency on your hands, Major Trucks?
I've got a 12-bed ward and 59 patients, Captain.
You had time to figure what it is that's laying so many men low?
I'm not through examining them all. So far, it could be 59 separate ailments, or two, or one.
Anything I can do?
You can get me a bigger hospital. The ward's full. I'm using the dining room, the isolation rooms, and the orderly rooms.
Now I can set up cots. You got plenty?
So far. The Major knows about this, does he?
He knows there's 59 men on surgeon's call.
What does he say?
Well, he's waiting for your report.
He's got a long wait coming.
Mentioned some other paperwork. Receipts for canned goods.
Just got here this morning. First shipments we've had in 5 weeks.
Fruit, vegetables, salt fish?
Not unpacked yet. Hasn't been time.
Must have been some shipments that didn't get through. Major says he's been billed for over a month now.
It's happened before. Trains and stages, sometimes they're waylaid. Captain, you got some time?
Lots of time.
Let's go over to the storage room, unpack that canned goods.
Oh, I can handle it. No need your leaving the men.
Might be nothing more important for me to do right now than unpack that food. We need help, though.
All right. I'll round up what I can and meet you at the storage room. No label on this batch. What carton did these cans come from, Sergeant? Sergeant!
I don't know, sir.
Well, any way of finding out?
I'm just unloading crates, sir. I ain't paying any mind to labels.
Open this can for me, Sergeant.
You tired too, Captain?
Open it. I'll get it, Gorse.
Couldn't seem to hold it fast. Here, I'll try it again.
Here, Gorse, wait a minute. Gorse, are you sick?
I'm tired. Maybe sick and tired, I don't know. I'm going back to my quarters, Captain. I just can't...
Gorse, watch out! Major Trucks!
What happened
Gorse.
To him?
He got to trembling, said he was... going back to his quarters, and then he walked right into a stack of crates.
Yeah, let's have a look.
Major, he breathing?
His pulse is very slow. You talked to him just before this happened?
Yeah, he said he was tired. I knew that. He's been dragging for the past week. Gorse don't drag, Major Trucks, unless there's something real wrong with him.
I've got men just like him upstairs in the ward. Played out, exhausted.
He couldn't lift a tin can.
Besides being so tired, did he seem changed? Act different?
You mean like he didn't care?
Yes, insolent. Insubordinate, even.
Well, for him, yeah.
Weaver, Nelson.
Yes, sir.
Take the sergeant up to the isolation room. Tell my orderly to see he's comfortable.
Yes, sir.
Captain, come on outside a minute.
What about Gorse?
If I told you that whole shipment of canned food spoiled, would that seem like an answer?
About Gorse? No, it wouldn't. You can't be talking about food poisoning. No one's eaten any of that canned food.
Not food poisoning. We can handle that. Captain, the men up there in the hospital, 60 of them now with Sergeant Gorse. Some of them got pain, some haven't. Some are bleeding, some aren't. A few of them are complaining of their teeth. And some of them, like Gorse, aren't complaining. They're just sitting or laying and staring straight ahead.
I was willing to call it boredom. Made a big speech to Major Daggett about changing their routine, lifting their morale, maybe helping the chaplain with his garden.
I wish they were bored. I'd give anything if they were. Captain... I'm scared to death.
Oh, you'll find out what it is. You always do.
I know what it is.
All those men with different complaints, they all have the same thing?
In different stages. It's scurvy.
Yeah.
I've been afraid of it. That's why I requisitioned the canned fruit and vegetables. They'd have helped if we could use them. Scurvy being what it is, a deficiency disease, it's just about the easiest thing in the world to cure. All you got to do is feed the patients plenty of fresh fruit and vegetables.
Now, look at the chaplain's garden. Potatoes. And not many of them.
That's the trouble with the high plains. Short seasons. Too much rain. Too little. Too cold in winter. Too hot in summer.
My men, Major. If we can't get them the right food,
they'll die, Captain. There won't be a thing we can do but let them.
Reply from Fort Fetterman, Captain. Regret no fresh vegetables or fruit here. Sending patrol to ranches in area not hopeful.
Oh, Fetterman's too close. We can't raise vegetables, they can't. Who else are you telegraphed, Lieutenant?
Fort Sanders, Camp Brown, Fort Bridger.
Camp Brown's over in the Wind River Range. Bridger's at least 100 miles further.
Well, sir, Major Daggett said to try them all.
They're too far away.
I know that, sir.
Sure you do, Mr. Syberts, but keep trying.
I will, sir.
And any word you get, no matter where it's from, don't turn any of it down.
Yes, sir. Captain?
Yeah?
Sir, I've read a lot about scurvy, what causes it, what cures it. It can be cured.
Yeah, with the right food.
The British Navy practically wiped it out as long ago as 1795, so there is hope, Captain.
Wiped it out? How, Mr. Syberts?
Lime juice?
Yeah. Lime juice.
Yes, sir. They made it a regulation. Each man was served a specific quantity of lime juice each day, and the threat of scurvy to ship crews just vanished.
Mr. Syberts, limes are kind of hard to come by in the high plains.
Well, I just thought if you knew there was hope, you'd feel better about things, Captain.
I'm not the one to worry about.
I know, sir, but...
But thanks, Lieutenant. And if you hear about any limes, even as far away as Fort Bridger, don't turn them down.
The last two settlers have spoken of a huckster, Captain, of a man who's been through here selling eggs and fresh vegetables.
Oh, 5 days ago, Chaplain. He could be anywhere by now.
The last settler said 5 days. The one before said six. We're getting closer to him.
You still praying, Chaplain?
Of course.
You're long on hope, aren't you, sir?
You call it hope, Captain. My word is faith. But the word doesn't matter. I'm long on it, yes. I've built my life on it.
Yeah. Another settler ahead.
And a fortunate settler, too. That stream is life to him.
Yeah, Lodgepole Creek.
It's a better day, Captain.
I'll take your word for that.
No, even for a realist, it's a better day. We sent 2 sacks of onions back to Fort Laramie this morning. We didn't do that yesterday.
All right, Chaplain. It's a better day. Patrol! Halt! Afternoon, mister.
Afternoon to you, soldiers.
We're down from Fort Laramie looking for fresh fruit, vegetables.
Oh, well, you got a good bit of looking ahead of you, soldier. Got potatoes.
Oh, we got potatoes, too.
I had some corn, but then, you know, my woman took sick, and caring for her, the corn went bad. Dried out. It makes a good fire, though, the dry corn. I've been using it to cook with.
Saving the logs, are you?
Oh, for winter. You know, it's cold as sin up here in the winters. I don't lay in dry logs now. My woman will just freeze this winter.
She's in the cabin, your wife?
You know, she ain't moved out of that cabin there in more than a month now.
Well, would you mind if I went in to see her?
Say, you some kind of doctor?
This is our chaplain, post-chaplain at Fort Laramie.
Chaplain? That's like a parson, huh?
Like a parson, mister.
Well, Well, she's a God-fearing woman, you know. You'll find that book there. It's right beside the bed. And it just might ease her some talking to a parson.
There's time, Captain?
You know what you have to do, Chaplain. Corporal Jenkins.
Yes, sir.
Move the patrol down to the stream. We'll water the horses while we're stopped.
Yes, sir.
It's just a pity you didn't come through here a couple days ago, soldier. There's a huckster come through. I don't know as he had any fruit, but he had himself a big load of vegetables.
Yeah, we've been hearing about him.
If I'd had the price, I'd have stocked up for the woman and me. But, they come high. They come too high.
Heading south, was he?
He said he was bound for Cheyenne. Maybe they can meet his price in town that way, but it's too steep for a nester. See, I had my eye on some old stalks he had that was going to seed, there was, and I figured for planting, you know? But he just wasn't a mind to trade nothing. He said he'd let them spoil before he cut his price.
Well, were you trying to trade potatoes?
Oh, he wouldn't hear to that. No, sir, I was willing to trade him. Say, soldier, you got thirst? I mean a real thirst, eh? Here, now, that parson, he's going to be a while. You come along with me. I keep it in the cellar, you know, now that my woman don't use it for storing what she puts up.
What are you talking about, mister?
Oh, you'll see. You'll see. Here now. I just keep it right back here. Now, mind your feet. There's a sod step or two, and it's pitch dark. Whereas once we get there... Dark sure don't matter.
Damp down here. Kind of musty.
Oh, it's all right. You ain't got a complaint in the world. There. See, what we're looking for, you don't have to see. Help yourself, soldier.
What is that? Corn whiskey?
Corn whiskey? I don't have the patience for that. I told you anyways, I had to burn my corn. No, sirree. This is hard cider. Here.
No, you drink it.
I mean to. It's just more neighborly if you take a swig first. Come on. Get on with it. I'm dry as a bone.
I'm not too keen on hard cider.
You're thinking about the other man. Well, now, so this here little jug, this wouldn't make the rounds in a hot day like this. Come on.
All right.
Now that hits a spot, don't it?
That's pure vinegar.
Vinegar? Oh, I call that right picayune, my way of thinking. Here, give me that jug. I got a better feeling for it. Oh, that's smooth. That's smooth. Swig of that now and again. Just make a man forget his lot in life.
Now, wait a minute. How much of that you got, mister?
That kind of grows on you, don't it? You know what? That's going to make you feel better once you come out of the coffin.
No, I want to know. How much you got?
Oh, I got a good bit of it. I make this up every year, whether there's need or not. I do. My woman, now, she just can't understand how there's no crocks around. Praise be, I got it put up in pickle barrels in all sizes, jugs, up and down.
I'll buy it from you, all of it, at a fair price.
Well, now, we could use the money. All of it?
Yeah, I'll buy it all and give you back two jugs. Fair?
Praise be, soldier. I'd done a sight of praying, but I never
Captain
figured...
Quinn, sir, are you down there?
I'm coming right up, Chaplain. Well, mister?
Well, I don't see how I can rightly refuse. You pay for what you give me back, huh?
You set a price. I'll talk to you later.
I was looking for you down at the stream.
Captain, our prayers have been answered. All along the stream, both sides are wild berries, raspberries, currants, blackberries, all kinds.
Of course.
The men are picking them now. We'll take back all we can carry, and I'm selecting some strong young bushes to transplant along the North Platte. You're very pleased, aren't you?
More hysterical than anything.
And that good woman in the cabin says the Indians on the Cheyenne Agency grow asparagus and rhubarb like it was buffalo grass. Captain, have you been drinking?
I sure have, Chaplain. Vinegar.
Vinegar?
Well, the settler calls it hard cider, and maybe it was once, but it's sure pure vinegar now.
Vinegar? Why, Major Truck said vinegar could be a help in arresting the tide of scurvy.
Yeah, he did. I'm buying all the settlers got.
You're certain it's vinegar? Because if it isn't, I'd have to search my soul.
Chaplain, take my word. It's vinegar. And look on it this way. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform.
Yes. Yes, Captain, I believe I will.
That you, Captain?
What does it look like, a stack of crates?
Yeah.
You still playing at being a sick man, Gorse?
It's a good life. Beats being a first sergeant.
Well, B Company can still use one. Anytime you want to give up your act here and come back.
Ooh, I ain't coming back as a first sergeant this time, Captain. I've been doing a lot of dreaming about that.
Well, we might break down a stripe or two, seeing you probably couldn't handle the work anyway.
You just keep talking, Captain. I'll keep dreaming. You'll see I'm coming back at least a major, maybe even a colonel.
Going to take over the post now, are you?
No, just B Company. Just for a day or two, long enough to get a captain busted out.
I never counted on your gratitude.
Now, we got to get a captain for B Company who don't go around foisting vinegar on a sick man in the name of hard cider.
You're talking out of a fever. I'm going to tell Major Trucks to keep you here, if it isn't too hard on the rest of the ward. Go on now. Go back to your dream.
Captain?
Yeah?
Thanks.
You get well. One day we'll go back and thank that settler.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Tom Henley. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear, Paul Duboff, and Lawrence Dobkin. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Handicap workers are good workers. With proper retraining, their job records compare favorably on the average with able-bodied men and women on the same jobs. The government is currently retraining increasing numbers of handicapped workers, and industry must be ready to absorb them. For information on the program, write the Veterans Administration, Washington 25, D.C. That's the Veterans Administration, Washington 25, D.C. This has been a CBS Radio public service message. Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M, the modern cigarette that lets you get full, exciting flavor through the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip. Live modern. Smoke L&M. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Chester.
Oh, Kitty.
Hello, Miss Kitty.
I'm looking for your partner, Kitty.
Oh, Sam?
Mm-hmm.
He's in back breaking out a shipment of whiskey we just got. Sit down. He'll be here in a few minutes.
Okay.
Sam in trouble, Matt?
Oh, no, Kitty. I just wanted some information from him. It's nothing important.
Well, that's good. Who are those two men?
I don't know. They're strangers to me.
That one wearing a gun, I'd like to keep a stranger.
Hey, where is the owner of this place?
You don't look like he's going to make nobody happy.
Hey.
Excuse me.
Let Sam take care of him, Kitty.
Well, it's my job, too.
Go get the owner, miss. We want to talk to him.
I'm one of the owners.
You?
What is it you want?
Well, we can't do business with no woman, Breeze.
And what's wrong with doing business with a woman, mister?
Well, it ain't fitting, that's all.
Well, what's going on, Kitty?
You the real owner here, mister?
Miss Kitty and I own it together. What can we do for you?
My name's Tom Breese. This here is Red Temple.
I'm Sam Noonan.
They say this saloon's worth about $15,000. Is that right?
I guess that's about right. Why?
We want to buy it.
What?
They said we want to buy it. We'll give you $10,000 cash.
You just said yourself it's worth $15,000.
I hadn't finished. We'll give you $10,000 now and $5,000 a year for the next 2 years. That makes $20,000 in all.
You'll give us $20,000?
Go check at the bank. The first 10's on deposit there right now, and your banker, Mr. Botkin, will have the bill of sale drawn up by tomorrow morning.
You're awful sure of yourself, aren't you, Breeze?
Now, Kitty, all they want to do is give us $20,000.
Where are you men from, anyway?
Abilene. We come in on the Santa Fe this morning, and our money is good.
This is kind of sudden, but $20,000.
Well, what do we want to sell for, Sam? This is a good business.
Sam knows a good deal, miss. You trust him.
Sure, if it's legitimate, why not?
Well, I don't know.
Look, why don't you two talk it over and we'll come back in the morning and settle everything.
Yeah, we'll talk it over, all right. Sam can't sell without me.
Oh. Well, you listen to him now. He knows what he's doing. We'll see you in the morning. Come on, Temple.
He's right, Kitty. We'd be crazy not to sell at that price.
I'll sleep on it, Sam.
Sure, sure, you do that. But come on out back for a minute. I want to show you that new whiskey we ordered.
All right. I'm going out back for a minute, Matt.
Okay, Kitty.
Well, I'll be doggone. What do you make of that, Mr. Dillon? Sounds like a good deal, don't it?
Yeah. If, like Sam said, it's legitimate.
Can you enjoy the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos through the modern miracle of the L&M Miracle Tip. Through the Pure White Miracle Tip, L&M tastes richer, smokes cleaner, draws easier. No other cigarette, plain or filter, gives you all the flavor you want, the rich, exciting flavor you get only from L&M. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live, live, live modern. Get L&M today.
I just ate and I'm still hungry. But it's a nice morning, though, ain't it, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, nice enough to get Kitty out bright and early.
What? Oh. Say, she looks mighty pretty, don't she?
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Miss Kitty.
Well, are you in business or out, Kitty?
In. I told them this morning I'm not selling.
No?
Well, how's Sam feel about it?
Sam's hardly speaking to me.
I'll bet.
Well, what decided you?
I honestly don't know, Matt. Maybe I just don't like those two. And I don't like their big hurry, either. They insist the deal has to be settled by Wednesday, day after tomorrow, no later. So I told them I needed more time, that's all. But they can't wait, so I made a definite no.
Well, it's your right, Kitty.
It sure is. Well, drop around later, huh?
Okay.
So long, Miss Kitty.
Bye.
Well, that's that.
Yeah. Hey, look, Mr. Dillon.
What?
Them two fellas. You think they're fixing to follow her?
Yeah, it won't do them any good. When Kitty makes up her mind, she doesn't often change it.
Marshal Dillon.
Now, hello, Priest. Temple.
How'd you know our names?
I've heard.
Oh, through Kitty Russell, no doubt.
Did you want to see me?
You say you're a good friend of Kitty's.
Yeah, that's right.
She tell you about turning down our offer?
She mentioned it, yeah.
She's making a mistake, Marshal.
Well, I think it's up to her what she does, don't you?
Oh, sure, sure. Maybe you could kind of change your mind.
What?
By Wednesday. There's $1,000 in it for you.
Better take it, Marshal.
I had, huh? Tell me something, Temple. Is that more or less than he's paying you?
Huh? Hey, now, look here.
Easy, Temple. What do you say, Marshal?
I don't know what your game is, Brees, but if I find out and I don't happen to like it, you're going to be in trouble. Both of you.
Come on, Temple.
Yeah. We'll meet again, Marshal.
Anytime.
My goodness, they're going to bear watching, ain't they?
Yeah, they sure are.
This is number 9.
Go ahead, Temple. Knock.
Mm-hmm. What do you want?
We want to talk to you, Kitty. In private.
Now, look here.
Just be quiet.
What do you think you're doing busting into my room
like
this?
Shut up, else you'll get hurt.
Oh, so that's it. I should have known you were nothing but a hired gun when I first saw you,
right.
Temple.
You keep quiet.
Let go of me!
Hit me, I'll show you.
Oh, Temple, now hold it. Leave her alone.
She slapped me.
I said leave her alone.
Yeah. See you later, Kitty.
Kitty, you listen to me. I'm going to make it real short.
Then you're through now. Get out of here.
We're going to buy the Long Branch, Kitty. And we're going to buy it before Wednesday.
No, you're not.
Okay, Kitty. You were right about Red Temple. He is a gunman.
So? You're going to have him shoot me?
No. Your partner, Sam Noonan.
You wouldn't dare.
But if you go to the marshal or anybody else about it, he'll shoot you, too.
It'd be a pleasure.
No, look. You can't do anything to Sam.
We'll kill him, that's all. Think it over, Kitty. Think it over hard.
L&M is the modern cigarette that lets you get all the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos. No other cigarette you can buy, plain or filter, gives you the flavor that you get through the modern miracle of the L&M Miracle Tip. Through the pure white Miracle Tip, L&M tastes richer, smokes cleaner, draws easier. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live modern. Get L&M today.
Hello, Sam.
Well, did you hear the news?
Oh, what news?
Well, Kitty, she's changed her mind. We're going to sell the Long Branch after all.
You are?
Here, ask her. You tell him, Kitty.
Well, about selling? It's true, Matt. Why should I turn down all that easy money? I was just being stubborn, I guess.
Well, you had to think it over some, Kitty. I understand that now. But at least it's your decision. Nobody pushed you into doing it.
No.
Come by tomorrow afternoon, Marshal. Drinks will be on the house.
Tomorrow?
Well, after we get through signing the papers at the bank. Gonna have a little celebration. I'll see you then.
Okay, Sam. Kitty?
Hmm?
How come you changed your mind?
You really want to know?
And if you want to tell me.
I did it for a friend, Matt. I did it for Sam.
Well, good morning, Matt.
It's past noon, Doc.
Well, then it's time to go eat some dinner.
All right, as soon as Chester gets back from the depot.
Depot? He go to meet somebody?
Oh, Chester meets everybody who comes in. But his excuse is that he's picking up the mail. Oh, sit down, Doc.
Ah, thank you, Matt. Oh, that's good. Say, you know, Dodge ought to put Chester on the payroll as a kind of official greeter.
Yeah, he'd like that.
He wouldn't either, but it's kind of funny. He welcomes them, makes them feel at home, and then you come along and look them over and run half of them back out of town again.
Well, maybe that's why I'm not as popular around here as I might be.
Well, lawman isn't supposed to be popular, man. Not if he's doing his job right.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, practically everybody has something on his conscience, Doc.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that is. Even of me.
Oh? Want to tell me about it, or wait till I find out and come after you? Huh?
Well, no, I'll wait. It'll kind of give you something to think about on rainy afternoon.
Okay, Doc.
Mr. Dillon, would
you... Oh, hello, Doc. You here?
No, I'm not, Chester.
Oh, a friend of yours in town, Mr. Dillon. I met him down at the depot.
Oh, Chester.
Glenn Horn. Do you remember him?
Sure I do. One of the richest gamblers in Abilene. What's he doing here?
He didn't say.
Oh, where is he?
He went to the Dodge house. He said he'd be by later.
Oh? Yeah. Glenn Horn doesn't travel for pleasure. I think I'll go see him right now. Well, Glenn, the whole thing begins to make sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does, but I don't like being taken for a fool, Matt. And I won't be in the middle on any kind of a crooked game.
You never have, I know of.
I don't even know this pair, this Brees and Temple.
The game works better for them that you don't.
I'll admit, I was talking some about my plans, but I never thought anybody'd try a trick like this.
Anything for a dollar, Glenn.
I suppose you've got some fool law here against shooting people.
Well, you take him back to Abilene and shoot him. I'd rather have Bill Hickok worry about it.
No, I'm serious, man.
Now, you leave the fighting to me, Glenn. If there is any.
You think it's Red Temple's much of a gunman?
You never know till it happens. But if we handle it the way we plan, maybe there won't be any shooting.
Men like them never give up easy, Matt.
Well, let's find out. You ready to go?
I'm ready for anything. Come on.
Come over to the bar. Have a drink.
Now, we just started celebrating, Marshal. What'll you have?
You can draw me a beer, Sam.
Coming right up.
The deal's all set, huh, Kitty?
Signed and sealed, Matt.
Hello, Breeze. Temple.
Marshal.
Sam and Kitty have 10,000 cash in the bank, Marshal, and I've got the bill of sale. Right here.
That's fine.
Breeze?
Mm. Glenn Horn. He got here just right, didn't he?
Sure did.
Let me handle this now, Temple.
Yeah.
Who is he, Matt?
Wait a minute, Kitty.
Well, Marshal Dillon.
Hello, Mr. Horn. What are you doing here?
Oh, just business. How you been, Marshal?
Oh, fine, thank you. Oh, this is Kitty Russell, Glenn Horn.
How do you do, Kitty?
Hello.
Here's your beer, Marshal.
Oh, thank you, sir. Sam, this is Glenn Horn. Sam Noonan.
Hello, Sam.
Have a drink. We're celebrating.
No, thanks. I'm taking the train back to Abilene in a few minutes.
What'd he say?
Shut up, Tim.
I thought you were here on business, Mr. Horn.
Well, I was, Marshal, but I've changed my mind. Matter of fact, I was going to make an offer for the Long Branch here.
You were going to buy it?
Well, I was going to try to buy it, Miss Kitty. I guess I told everybody in Abilene about it. I even told him I was going to offer $15,000 for it.
Hey, excuse me, Mr. Horn. My name's Brees. My partner there's Red Temple. Hey, we just bought the Long Branch.
Well, that's fine, Mr. Brees. I wish you good luck with it.
Yeah, you haven't really changed your mind, have you?
Yes, I've decided I prefer Abilene to Dodge. I don't know why I was thinking of moving anyway.
Hey, but it's for sale. We'll sell it to you, maybe even for $14,000.
You'll do what?
You stay out of this.
No, it's no use, Mr. Brees. My mind's made up. Goodbye, Miss Kitty.
Goodbye.
Sam.
Goodbye, Mr. Horn.
Good to see you again, Marshal.
Yeah, I'll look you up in Abilene sometime.
Fine.
We can't let him go, Brees.
He means what he says, Temple. Hey, Kitty. Sam, I got something to tell you.
What?
Here's the bill of sale. You can have it back.
What do you mean?
We've changed our minds, too. We want our money.
What's going on here, anyway?
Deal's off. We want our money. We're going back to the bank and get it right now.
But you can't do that.
Yes, we can.
Wait a minute, Temple. I want to explain.
Marshal, just you keep out of this.
Not likely.
What is it, Matt?
It's real simple, Kitty. Glenn Horn was thinking of offering $15,000 for the Long Branch, and these two heard about it. So they bought it for $10,000, and we're going to make a fast $5,000 profit on it.
But they were going to pay us another $5,000 a year for 2 years.
Yeah, if you could find them. Men like them can disappear pretty easy.
Rotten crooks. I should have known.
You forgetting something, Kitty?
All right, Temple. I haven't said anything.
Oh. So that's it, huh? They've been threatening you, Kitty?
No, Matt.
You're looking at me, Temple, and you keep looking at me.
Shoot him, Temple.
I'd do it, Marshal.
Nobody else is armed, Temple. I guess it'll have to be me.
You first, anyway.
You killed him.
You should have hired a better gunman, Brees.
You can't touch me. I ain't done nothing illegal.
No, but you're leaving town after we go to the bank.
What?
You want your money back, don't you? Kitty, you and Sam come along, too. Glenn Horn is waiting there with $15,000 if you still want to sell.
No. No, that ain't fair.
Brees, you're lucky to get out of this alive. Now, you keep quiet. Now, you too, you still want to sell?
But I ain't even going to the bank, Marshal. After this, I'm leaving all such matters with Kitty.
Good. Then we're still going to be running this place, Sam. Let's go, Matt.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad. How can we make America a better place to live? First, we must keep our own homes in good condition. That goes without saying. Secondly, we must clean up slums. Slums hurt everyone, not only those who live in them. If there's a slum near you, it lowers the value of your house. If there's a slum anywhere, it breeds delinquency and crime, which you pay for in higher taxes. What can you do? Well, some slums are beyond repair and should be torn down, but some can be rehabilitated. Right now, local groups may be at work in your town seeking adequate housing for all our people. Find them. Join them. Write to ACTION. ACTION is the American Council to Improve Our Neighborhoods. It's a new national nonprofit organization designed to give you the information you need to protect the housing health of your community. Send for ACTION's free booklet. Write today to ACTION, Box 20, Radio City Station, New York 20, New York. This has been a CBS Radio public service announcement. And now, William Conrad.
You know, on the frontier, most men, even the gunfighters, wore only one gun. Because they felt if you couldn't get the job done with five bullets, you shouldn't get in arguments to begin with. And that was the West.
Gunsmoke. Produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Lawrence Dobkin, Vic Perrin, and Harry Bartell. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke.